Picture this. You're in the garage, hands covered in grease, just finished tuning up your engine with a part you found on eBay, and you realize, you know what? I could also use new brakes. So where do you go next? Back to eBay. You can find anything there. It's unreal. Wipers, headlights, even cold air intakes, it's all there. And you've got eBay Guaranteed Fit. You order a part, and if it doesn't fit, send it back. Simple as that. Look, DIY fixes can be major. Doesn't matter if it's just maintenance or a major mod. You got it. Especially when things are guaranteed to fit. So when you dive into your next car project, start with eBay. All the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things people love.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Andre, how was your holidays?
Very, very good, but short.
Really?
Yes. But in this show, we have such a packed podcast episode because we have a lot of really cool truck stuff to discuss. And also, looking into the next year, I have a trip coming up that I'll tell you in a second, which I'm so excited about.
Yeah, well, why don't you tell now? Because I've got a trip, too.
You do?
I do. Oh, you want to make him wait for the trips? Should I tell him my trip? And then, because we'll, your trip is cooler than mine. Let's give him a hint, okay?
Okay. It's not in this country.
I know that. How, I know that because I know the trip. How many hours are you flying to get there?
So I have to take four planes from Denver.
Yeah.
And approximately 33 hours.
And you're going to end up in the country of?
I'll give him a hint. Of sand.
Saudi Arabia.
So yes,
that
Saudi Arabia.
That should give you guys a hint as
and
to...
And where are you going and how many planes are you taking?
One.
One
I'm
plane?
I'm flying right over the pole, straight over the pole and straight down.
Are you going to go see Santa Claus?
I'm going to go to Japan for the motor show.
Sweet.
And actually, it's better than that. So Toyota invited Tommy and myself. Thank you, Toyota. I've never been so thrilled about a program as this. And ostensibly, it's, of course, to go to the Tokyo Motor Show, which we went to last year, which was so cool. Oh, my God. It is so cool to see.
You saw a lot of forbidden fruit there.
And you
a
put,
lot of
you
it.
Put your finger on it. What we're doing is we're going to go drive the forbidden fruit.
Really? Yeah. Drive it?
Yeah. So we're going to go to a racetrack, and they're going to give us access to all of the vehicles or a lot of the vehicles that Toyota builds in Japan and sells in Japan that we don't get to drive here. I hope I get to go in that van, the Alfred.
Please don't say that name.
Why?
It's a weird name.
It is. It is like that. Let me Google it.
Okay. While you're Googling
I want to get that right.
I want to thank Ford for helping me get to Saudi Arabia.
Ooh, that's another hint.
Because this is, I'll just say it, this is a Dakar Rally 2025. I've been watching Dakar Rally almost all of my life. Actually, the Dakar Rally and me are almost the same age. So, and I'm super psyched. I've never been live to the Dakar Rally.
It is the Alphard. A-L-P-H-A-R.
Alphard.
Yeah, this is really cool.
I don't think that's a good name for America. Alphard.
Well, they don't sell it here.
Alphard.
Okay.
Yes.
You're saying it sounds like Alphard.
Yes.
Toyota does have the BRZ here. No, not the BRZ. The
BZ4X.
BZ4X, yes, which might be the worst name of the year for any vehicle.
Right.
Hey, so you're going to go to the car. What are you going to do, dude? You're going to race?
I'm not racing. No, I'm not that cool. But Ford is fielding four custom-built specialty Dakar rally trucks.
Yeah.
They're called Raptor T1 Pluses.
Yep.
And these are tube chassis, you know, mid-engine, four-wheel drive.
And you're going to be the driver.
Monsters. No, I'm going to be following the race, chasing the race, helping. Well, not helping, but just covering anything I can cover.
And pray tell, what are you going to be chasing the race in?
A Raptor.
Whew.
Well, you only chase Raptors in Raptors.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, what would you chase a Raptor
in? You're doing a TRX.
No, you're not going to be using a TRX.
So you're going to go to Saudi Arabia and go watch. You're going to go to a bivouac?
Yeah.
You're going to be in a bivouac?
I don't have all the agenda.
Okay.
I've been so laser focused on something we're going to be talking about in this podcast.
That you haven't like...
That I had blinders on.
Yeah.
And I don't know everything about Saudi Arabia right now, but I'm going to learn soon.
This is going to be like one of those moments in your life that you tick off, right? And yes. You say, "This, you know, I got to go and chase the Dakar in a Raptor."
Few people can say that.
I am jealous. I am officially jealous. I'm not jealous of your 4 flights, but I am jealous of once you get there. If you know, if you can actually experience it without being horribly jet lagged, which is going to be tricky, but
that's okay.
I think the adrenaline.
Adrenaline will help me.
Flying across the sand in a Raptor will help.
It will carry me through, I'm sure of it. I've also never been to Tokyo or Japan and Japan in general, so I'm very jealous of your trip as well. But how about we start talking about trucks?
Not yet.
What are we now talking about?
I've got something else I want to talk about. You know how I just said the BZ4X has got to be one of the worst names for a car?
Yes.
I have... And I think I'm fair to say this, Andre. I think you all will agree, and I will let you guess at this. I have a contender for the worst two names for a new truck.
Let me think.
Can you think of what two trucks I'm thinking of?
Two trucks?
Yeah, the worst two names for two new trucks.
Pickup trucks.
Yes, pickup trucks. Your world.
Well, it's not Ridgeline. Is it Ridgeline?
No, they're new. Two new trucks. They're not out yet.
Oh.
Did that help you?
A Scout Terra.
No.
Oh. What?
No, those are great names. Terra, that's cool.
Terra.
Tell me, the new Ram Charger. Is it a range extended truck or is it an all-electric truck?
Well, I know what it is.
And the new Ram truck. Rev,
yes.
Which stands for range extended vehicle, is that an all-electric truck or
it's all-electric.
So yes. The Ram Rev is all electric, and yet the Ram Charger is a range extended vehicle.
Exactly, I agree with you.
Do you see the confusion that could bring?
I agree with you. Also, Ram Charger. You know, Ram has a wireless charger inside of all of their trucks, and their wireless charger for your phone is called the Ram Charger. So now you have a Ram Charger, wireless charger inside of your Ram Charger truck. So now you have Ram Charger. Ram, there must be a better way.
I mean, if you're going to have a EREV, right, electric range extended vehicle, then you should call it that.
Call it the...
Right, the one that has... Oh, and here's another thing, by the way, that is weird. I was listening to our friend Tim, and he said something, and I'm going to ask you because I don't know if this is true, but I think it may not be true. He said that Ram has officially announced that the range extended vehicle. Now, what a range extended vehicle is, it's like imagine if there were bookends, right? On one side is a plug-in hybrid where you have a small battery, big engine, and you can go for, let's say, 20 to 30 miles on the battery, and then, of course, the engine kicks in and
helps you helps later. You. Yeah.
The other bookend is an EREV, right, where you have a big battery and a small engine, and you can go very far on that battery, let's say 200, 250 miles. And then once you run out of battery, it could be, I mean, the only other one that's really been for sale that's a true EREV range extended vehicle is the BMW i3, which you own,
right,
which doesn't actually go all that far in battery. But anyway,
sure.
then the engine kicks in and charges the battery and lets you keep going.
Right.
So Tim on his podcast said that it's going to be the Pentastar that's going to be the engine that powers the range extended Ram.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be.
I've heard it may not be. I've heard that Stellantis has said, and they have not confirmed that it's going to be the Pentastar.
Well, they originally announced it as a Pentastar.
Okay.
So Tim is absolutely right. But in the latest release, I was talking to our producer, Zach.
Mm-hmm.
Zach said they talked about the gasoline engine helping the Ram Charger,
right?
EREV. And
it's already confusing.
They did not state what the engine was.
Yeah, and I think that makes a
lot of... In the most recent press release.
So if you read between the lines, which we are here at TFL, potentially it won't be the Pentastar.
But what would you add?
They have that 2-liter turbo that they put in the Jeep, which would be a lighter engine. I don't know if you need a 6-cylinder to actually power the battery.
I think you do.
It seems like overkill.
I think you do. Here's why.
Okay.
Here's why. Maybe it's going to be a Hemi. Here's why.
So you think it's going to be a heavy 5.4-cylinder heavy?
It could be. Here's why.
All right, let me hear this, Andre.
Are you ready?
I will listen to you with bated breath. Yes, sir.
Okay. So what are trucks good at?
Pulling towing trailers. And hauling. Yeah.
Yes. So imagine you're on the I gauntlet.
Okay.
You have 14,000 pounds behind your Ram Charger, which is what it's rated for. It's rated for 14,000 pounds, and your battery dies halfway through the mountain. And now your, let's say, 2-liter 4-cylinder engine is going to go. It's going to start. It's going to kick on, and it's going to produce as much electricity as it possibly can, and it's not going to be enough because you're climbing this grade. You're asking for all the horsepower,
Andre,
600 horsepower, and this little baby engine, like the i3 that you drove.
I had that. By the way, he's right. I had that happen to me when we bought the i3, which now Andre owns. Tommy and I took it up to Loveland Pass, which is, you know, up to 12,000 feet. And the battery in that 2014 only had about 50 miles of range, ran out right when we got to the very steep part in Georgetown. And then me and Tommy, because the BMW i3 range extender only has a 600cc Kymco, we're doing 25 miles an hour going up that very steep, one of the steepest sections past Georgetown. And then we got to Loveland Pass, we could barely do 16. So I understand that.
So imagine now towing.
I get that.
Okay.
So so imagine this. Why do you need the battery? Why not just put the Hemi in it? you see the problem?
Yes. Yes. You know what?
Why do you even need the battery at that point?
You know, a serial hybrid or a parallel hybrid or any type of hybrid, it might be the worst of both worlds.
That's what a lot of journalists said, because you're carrying around two powertrains.
You're carrying around two powertrains for some strange reason, and sometimes you're running silently.
You got a motor and an engine.
Sometimes you have a generator.
And you got to fix that. Let me make my argument for the 2-liter turbo.
Okay.
First of all, what has every manufacturer in this world gone to, including Toyota?
Small displacement and turbocharging.
There. Do I need to say enough?
No.
Pentastar is ancient. I mean, it really is.
It's reliable. It's proven.
Yeah, but it's ancient. It's unturbocharged, so it produces relatively small amounts of power for the amount of displacement that it has. And in your scenario, it's even going to struggle more because now this normally aspirated engine is struggling up to 10,000 feet above sea level, and it's going to produce a lot less power, whereas a turbo would help make up for the lack of air pressure by jamming more air into the cylinder.
Yes. A hurricane, 3-liter.
No, once again, why do you need the battery? Same problem. Why do you even need the battery? At that point, just get rid of the battery and tow with the hurricane.
So we'll find out in like 5 months.
I think we'll find out sooner.
3 months.
So, and if it was,
we'll find out.
Let me make my third point.
Okay,
and that is, if it really is the Pentastar, right, yes. V6, why didn't they say so? Why did they?
They said it originally.
But why did they get rid of it?
I was at the Los Angeles Auto Show with you.
Yeah.
And they had a Ram Charger, range extended hybrid chassis there.
I did
a video of it, and I saw the Pentastar with my own two eyes.
But why did they get rid of it in the press release?
They got rid of it in the latest press release.
Why?
I don't know.
You think it was an omission? Press releases go through lawyers, and they go through them with a fine-tooth comb, because journalists will do that. And I think that there is a real reason why they got rid of, you know, first of all, let me address what you said. Yes, I was there. I saw the Pentastar, right? But keep in mind that when they put out that press release, that range extender was supposed to come out after the electric truck, and they flipped them around, which is smart.
They made it sooner.
Yeah, yes. They said, you know, they're seeing that electric trucks aren't selling. You know, Ford's having issues with the Lightning. Rivian's, you know, struggling as well. We don't know about the Silverado yet, but I assume it's not going to be they're going to be selling into a headwind. And so they did something smart, and they said, you know what, everybody wants plug-in hybrids or hybrids, so we're going to flip it around. So maybe when they flipped it around, when they put it on the front burner, so to speak, maybe somebody said, you know what, why are we stuffing this giant old V6 in here that's heavy, that's going to hurt us? Because it's also going to hurt you in payload, which means it's going to hurt you in towing. I don't know what the weight on the 2-liter turbo is, but I'm guessing. Oh, well, let me see. Can I Google it?
You can Google it. But I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. So Let's continue there. So your 2-liter kicks in with a turbocharger on the iGauntlet. You're pulling maximum load up a mountain, 7% grade. And now your speed is going to decrease. You're going to feel unsafe. You're going to feel dissatisfied with the powertrain. And Ram was very clear. They said when they were building the Ram Charger concept truck, they said no compromise. They said paradigm shifting. That's their marketing terms, which means it's going to be, you know, as powerful in its gasoline mode as it will be in its electric mode. So if that is true, if that is to be the case, they need a very powerful gasoline generator, something quite efficient, maybe even a diesel, maybe a helicopter turbine. They need something quite powerful that's compact in size and also a very powerful generator that can generate enough electricity quickly in order for you to pull a maximum trailer up that mountain.
Okay, so here's what I found out.
Yes.
I didn't find out the weight, but guess how much horsepower the Pentastar puts out?
305.
It depends on the usage. It's anywhere from 280 to 305.
Okay.
And guess how much torque?
270.
269. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So that's powerful, right?
Okay.
Okay. I agree. That's powerful. But guess how much the 2-liter turbo puts out?
How much horsepower?
Yeah. 270. So 35
less. So a little
bit less. And okay. 295. So it puts out more torque
okay.
than the Pentastar. And a generator is all okay. about torque. So if you wanted maximum. Yeah, of course.
No.
That's why diesels make such good generators, because they're very torquey.
Picture this. You're in the garage, hands covered in grease, just finished tuning up your engine with a part you found on eBay, and you realize, you know what? I could also use new brakes. So where do you go next? Back to eBay. You can find anything there. It's unreal. Wipers, headlights, even cold air intakes, it's all there. And you've got eBay Guaranteed Fit. You order a part, and if it doesn't fit, send it back. Simple as that. Look, DIY fixes can be major. Doesn't matter if it's just maintenance or a major mod. You got it. Especially when things are guaranteed to fit. So when you dive into your next car project, start with eBay. All the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things people love.
Menards is the ultimate home improvement destination in the Midwest. Since 1958, we've been supplying you with everything from hardware to automotive needs. We believe in helping you save big money on every project, big or small. From top-of-the-line tools to plumbing supplies, paint, and appliances, we've got you covered. We thank you for making Menards a part of your year. From our family to yours, have a safe and happy new year.
Save big money at Menards.
You can generate more torque you have, right? Horsepower is about how fast you can go. Torque is about how much, you know, pulling power you have. And so you'd want the more torquey engine than the bigger horsepower engine. I guess you could spin the engine faster and you can maybe create more energy. I'm kind of getting out of my debt. But I'm saying between the two, there isn't much difference. In fact, the turbo has more torque, a little bit less horsepower than the Pentastar. So and I'm guessing that the 2-liter turbo weighs a lot less. I wasn't able to find the weight.
Okay.
So I think I made a... Guys, let me know in the comments.
That's a fair argument.
Did I make a fair argument?
Sure. But do you see my argument as well?
I completely see your argument.
Okay.
But I just think that 2-liter turbo...
I think it's going to be a V8.
What?
No, they're changing it. I think we're saying they're changing it. And I think they're going to go bigger.
Oh, God, no.
Somehow.
I will bet you my iced tea, Andre, it will not be a V8.
That's a $2 iced tea?
Yeah. I will bet you my iced tea. You know why?
Okay. What?
That would be so freaking insulting, right, to all of the Hemi lovers out there. God, I love my Hemi, but I hate electric trucks.
Hemi
is an electric truck. How is that going to fly? That's going to be harder to sell than the Dodge.
Daytona.
God damn it, they put a Hemi into my electric truck.
That's why I think it's going to be a corn-burning turbine.
It would be cool if it was a jet engine.
A helicopter engine.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
yes.
You don't need that bed. Stick a big turbine up there.
Wow. All right, Roman, we'll bet on iced tea.
All right. Now we just blew through like almost 20 minutes talking about nothing that's on our rundown. Let's talk about the rundown. Andre and I, and it'll be up this weekend, so if you're listening to this on Friday or watching it on
Saturday, This weekend
we'll have the RHO on the Ike. And, of course, the RHO is Ram's new top dog off-roader.
Yeah, Ram 1500 RHO.
Replaces the TRX, sort of, kind of. It has a twin-turbo Hurricane straight six versus a supercharged V8. Produces what, 500 and, I keep forgetting, 60 horsepower?
540,
sorry. Andre knows his numbers.
And 521 pounds.
And 521 pounds. And we thought, let's tow with it. And it doesn't tow all that much, just like the Raptor or the Ranger Raptor, any of these, you know, Baja trucks. It only tows 8,500 pounds.
Yeah, it's rated for about 8,500 pounds, which is decent. So it will take care of most of smaller campers, medium-sized boats, et cetera, et cetera.
So we loaded up our trailer with the crappiest car we've ever bought in TFL's 15-year history, and that is this P38 Range Rover, because combined with the trailer, it was almost 8,500 pounds.
Yeah, so we basically maxed it out.
Yeah.
Because when we're doing an Ike Gauntlet World's Toughest Towing Test, we usually don't go easy. You know, this is not like, oh, let's see how it tows half weight. We usually load very close to maximum capacities, and we're running this very steep grade up to 11,000 feet above sea level, like we said.
And the first thing we found, which was actually rather shocking, was that it squatted a lot. I mean, it was like 3 inches, dude.
Yeah, and this is, we've seen this with Raptors trucks. Yeah. F-150 Raptors squat a lot. TRX squatted quite a bit, and the RHO also squats. And, of course, the suspension is designed primarily for off-road use, right?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, be able to fly in the air and land, you know, with very special shocks, semi-active.
I believe Street tested that a long time ago with his TRX.
Yeah, and actually on the first event in Michigan, we jumped RHOs. Yeah. I jumped an RHO as well.
But it turns out if you don't jump them right, they're like lawn darts because you get all this weight in the front.
Can get bad very quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
It can get bad very quickly.
Famous, now it's getting pretty old, YouTube video where somebody like basically broke a Raptor in half. It just went boop right in the middle when it landed.
It can go bad very fast.
So before you go out and jump your RHO or your TRX or your Raptor, you may want to consider that it's a very specific kind of jumping.
So this jump was prepared by Ram engineers in their PR department, and they spent days getting the slope just right.
So you land on all fours.
Yes, so you land on all fours, and you're not nose diving or going sideways.
How does it jump?
It was amazingly easy. I mean, it's scary because you're coming off a ledge at 45 miles an hour or maybe 50 miles an hour. And it doesn't feel natural because I don't usually jump trucks on a daily basis. And then it just lands as if it was not a big deal.
You know,
it just lands.
You would think, Andre, that it would actually be better at jumping because it's lighter than the TRX.
It's also better weight distribution, right?
Right.
Because that big supercharger was in the nose of the TRX.
Yeah, so you've got two less cylinders, one less supercharger. So it should be a lighter truck. But ironically, it's heavier than the Raptor R, which was surprising to me because the Raptor R still has that big 5.2-liter V8 supercharge. But because it's aluminum,
it's still lighter than the RHO.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so we took it up the Ike. And
down the Ike.
Which was surprising. You want to tell them why that was surprising?
Well, down the Ike, so most new trucks now have so much power that going up the mountain with maximum load is usually not an issue.
And 540 horsepower, no
problem.
That's
not an issue.
That's not an issue. It's going to make it, you know, our standard is 8 minutes.
Yeah, and they do it.
They do it easily.
The only trucks that don't do it
are the ones that get stuck behind a Camry from California with non-snow tires.
No, not that.
Okay.
But when you have a dually diesel, and you're pulling 35,000 up a mountain,
You're not gonna do that.
That will not be able to go at speed limit.
But neither will a semi-truck pulling 80,000.
Right,
so, yeah.
Exactly. So going down the mountain is very important. Also, actually more important because you're using your brakes and your trailer brakes.
Think about it. I mean, if you're going up the mountain and something goes kablooey, which it has a few times for us.
You pull over,
put on the emergency brakes, put on the hazards, and you're fine. If you're going down the mountain and something goes wrong, then you're going up the, if there is one handy, you're going up the emergency escape ramp.
You're going, runaway ramp. And that's not pretty. It's got very deep sand. And then you're all over the news because you have just, you know.
By the way, I heard if you go down, this is what Tommy was telling me. If you go into one of those runaway ramps because of the sand, they're designed to be very sticky. So it's not like a – because not only do they have deep sand, but they also go up, right?
Yes.
And so they're meant to dissipate a lot of energy very
quickly. So it's
quickly.
A very hard deceleration.
Yeah. I heard it's like almost coming to a stop from 70 or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like it's a gentle thing.
It's not a good experience no matter – but plus you're damaging your truck.
Having said that, we've seen a bunch of semis go up those things. And they're always way up. They don't ever stop at the bottom of it. They're always kind of like two-thirds of the way.
Which is also very
up.
Scary.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so very scary.
Think about the amount of potential energy that those things are dissipating quickly.
So we're using tow haul mode, of course. We're set up correctly. You know, we're using our WaySafe hitch with weight distribution correctly. Everything is beautiful. The truck is squatting a little bit, yes. But we're going down, and we noticed great shifting, right? It shifted bam, bam, and it goes to about 4,500 RPM. And its red line is near 6,000, maybe like 6,500.
It's got a 9-speed, right?
It's got an 8-speed.
8-speed, okay.
It's got an 8-speed. And I could see it using almost all of its RPM. It's about 5,000 RPM, but it can't slow it down.
Yeah, so the way we kind of judge trucks is the more you have to brake. So, well, why don't you tell them the procedure?
Well, yeah, so it's between 50 and 60 miles an hour.
Because 60 is the top
60
speed.
Is the speed limit, and 50 is a number we chose, right? And every time we have to use our brakes to bring it back down to 50 miles an hour from 60 is a brake application, and we count those.
And the more that you do, the less control the truck basically has of the load because the more you're having to brake.
And the worse it is.
Yeah, and the more you're having to brake, the more you're heating up your brakes, and then you know what happens when brakes heat up. Stopping power goes down. If they get too hot, then you're in the runaway truck ramp. And for context, how much did like the TRX and the regular Raptor do?
So,
how many brake applications?
Yeah. So we were around 4 brake applications in those other trucks. And actually a Raptor R, our truck, the truck we owned a year ago, did the 1 brake application.
And how many brake applications did the RHO do?
11.
Well,
so, and actually some of our...
That's almost a record.
In the wrong way.
Yeah, in the wrong way.
In the wrong way. So anything over 10 brake applications we consider... not good, but we still were safe. You know, we didn't smell brake pads. We did not overheat
our
brakes.
Well, we never felt like we were in trouble. I mean, we never...
Right.
We were never like, help, help.
No, we're not screaming like...
We're running away.
Little children.
No.
But, you know, if the benchmark is 4 and you're doing 11, you know, it's not as good performance. It's not a good performance, right? So...
And that's a combination of not enough displacement and
probably
too many gears.
And not too many gears, maybe. Or, well, not... So the truck was trying. It was trying to slow us down. It was using a lot of RPM, but it just didn't do it.
Hmm. So
up the mountain was amazing. Bam.
So over at TFL Truck or alltfl.com...
You can actually see it.
You can actually see it, and you can watch it, you know, how we did this. And those are like the two high points of that experiment, test... challenge, whatever you want to call it. It was surprising, very surprising. And I think, like I said, that has a lot to do with the fact that it's now a straight six.
Maybe the displacement of the engine.
Having said that, you know, the Cummins is a straight six.
But it's a bigger displacement.
And it's got an air brake.
It's got a exhaust brake, yeah.
Yeah.
So
this doesn't have. So why don't
Cummins is a 6.7.
Yeah, why don't you explain to him what the exhaust brake does, how it works.
So in pickup trucks, we're not talking about semis right now.
Right.
In pickup trucks.
I'm talking about Jake brakes. That's a different thing.
Yeah. In pickup trucks, basically the turbocharger often has variable vanes. So you could close the turbocharger or open it up in a variable way. And when you close the turbocharger, because it's sitting on the exhaust system, right? You're basically creating back pressure for the engine. So the engine becomes, it basically slows you down, right? So,
but no such luck on the RHO.
But the RHO and most gasoline engines, and I talked to some engineers about this. For example, mid-sizers are mostly turbocharged now, Toyota, Chevy, and Ford. A lot of half-tons are turbocharged gas engines. What happens, they use different turbochargers. They're usually smaller in size, different materials. So you cannot have an exhaust brake on a gas engine. It just doesn't compute. It just doesn't work. So big diesel engines, slower revving, bigger mechanical pieces, that's when you can have an exhaust brake.
All right. So let's go from a moment where the RHO did not succeed to a moment where it did succeed. And this week, Andre and I took the RHO up the Razor Rocks, which are these sharp, very steep rocks, which you can tear the bottom out of a truck. And we compared it to the Raptor R. And we had another surprise in that video. And we took the RHO up first, and it did really well.
Yeah, I was super impressed. The tires are quite different between the two trucks. The RHOs, you're still using the Goodyear Wrangler Territory AT tires, 35s. And neither the Raptor R nor the RHO have front lockers. So we're a bit worried about this.
Because the thing with the Razor Rocks is, especially with snow, once you get the truck up on top of the Razor Rocks, you really need the front wheels to pull it over, because the rear wheels are now, even if the diff is locked, are in either soft sand in the summer or in snow in the winter, and they're just spinning.
Or maybe one is in the air.
Is in the air. And so you need the front to actually pull the truck up and over those.
Yeah.
And the RHO did really well, especially considering it's got 35s and the Raptor R has 37. So you've got, what, less ground clearance, right?
An inch less ground clearance than the RHO. But and both trucks are really designed for fast-speed desert running, you know, at very high speeds. And we're crawling at 1 mile an hour. And both of these trucks are capable of crawling, but the RHO did a little bit better. The Raptor R, it was spinning its tires just a little bit more. And, the RHO was very impressive.
Yeah, and then, you know, we took the Raptor R up there. And I noticed something very interesting. So originally the Raptor R, as well as the Raptor, right, came with the Torsen front diff.
Yes.
Which is kind of like the next best thing to a locker. So there's a couple ways that you can lock something up, right? You can have like the G80, which Chevy uses, which is a mechanical locker. So if one of the wheels starts spinning, the differential will lock it so that both wheels now have power.
But it does it itself mechanically.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Or there's a traditional electric locker, which many trucks have, where you push a button and just locks the diff.
Yes.
And then there's a Torsen, which I don't quite know how it works, but it does something similar to kind of the G80, but in a much more sophisticated way.
It's a sophisticated way, but it also acts by itself. It determines, you know, it sees the differential of speed on both sides, and it locks itself up.
So Andre's crawling up in the Raptor, and I'm thinking to myself, because I'm spotting it, I'm thinking to myself, this should be kids play, right? It's got 37s.
Lots of ground clearance.
Lots of ground clearance. It's not going to tear the bottom. You're not going to get stuck. And then he gets to the point where, you know, the rear wheels are in. One's up in the air, one's in the snow, and he's just stuck. He's just stuck. He's just not going. And you kind of kept flooring it for like 3 seconds, and then you would back off. And I was like, Andre, stay in it, stay in it. And I noticed something, and I'm not sure if I noticed this correctly, but what I noticed was that for those 3 seconds that you were on the power, neither the front of the two wheels were spinning.
Really?
Yeah.
Truck was trying to calculate.
And then when you stayed in the power, it finally, and usually the way that works is the truck using braking will find out if one of the wheels is spinning and then brake that wheel and then send power. So if there's one in the air, right, it'll brake that one and then it'll send power to the one that's on the ground. But in the Raptor R, it looked like none of the wheels were spinning until you gave it enough power where it went, okay, you want power to the front. And then finally, after like 3 or 4 attempts, like I said, you can watch that video, you were able to pull yourself up and over the Razor Rocks in the Raptor R. So that was interesting, because I thought that the Raptor R would be the king of the hill, but it turned out the RHO did much better.
Yeah, maybe the tuning, the computer programming in RHO maybe is a little bit better.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe I
saw that wrong, because I was on one side and the videographer was on the other side. So don't hold me to this, Ford, if you're listening. I'm not.
Well, please watch the video also.
Yeah, this is not scientific.
Yeah, watch the video as well. And you can see all the details right there. It's on TFL Off-Road.
And then, of course, since Ford was kind enough to give us the Raptor R, which we haven't had since we sold ours, you know, now we have the Range Raptor. We thought it'd be fun to compare the smallest of the Raptors to the biggest of the Raptors. So tell me about the comparison you did with the Ranger Raptor versus the Raptor R.
Well, we did a couple things, actually.
Yeah.
First, we thought, you know what? What kind of range can you get by driving?
Yeah, fuel economy.
So fuel efficiency. We're not talking about like MPG necessarily, because both of these trucks are not known, you know, for their efficiencies. But we want to know, okay, if I am on the highway on a road trip, how far can I go? So we did Denver 100 loop, which is basically a toll road highway all the way around Denver, Colorado. And it's 111 miles, technically speaking. So it's quite a long ways. And Case and I did a loop, and something surprising happened. The Ranger Raptor, by the way, which is tuned by Ford, using Ford Performance
Yeah, Ford sells a tune for the Raptors now, and you can buy this. They're like $1,000. It's a little box. You plug.
It's like $100 plus. If you were to install it at the dealer, it'd be in like another $150. So it's almost $1,000.
Yeah, yeah. And then you plug it. You plug the little tuner into the OBD port, and then it. How much more horsepower and torque do we get in the Ranger Raptor?
Quite a bit. We got 50 horsepower based on this, and like almost 100 pound-feet of torque more.
Yeah, and the great thing.
So it's a big deal.
And the great thing is it's warrantied by Ford. So unlike, you know, if you're kind of doing, let's call it
the shade tree mechanic.
The fell off the truck tune.
Yeah.
Where you might be voiding the warranty. This does not void the warranty. And the great thing, you know, we were talking about turbos, right? And the great thing about turbos is you can actually tune them, and you can tune them pretty easily.
Yeah.
And then there's this equation of how much power do you want versus how much longevity do you want? And Ford has decided that they were very conservative in the original tune, so you can use this tuner to give yourself more power and still keep it under factory warranty, which is great. So ours is tuned, and so we were thinking it's going to be very thirsty.
Yeah, because it's rated at 18 on the highway by the government, right? And it surprised. It was way more efficient than we ever expected. It got 21 mpg.
On the Denver 100 loop.
Yeah, the Ranger Raptor did.
Yeah.
The Raptor R did not fare so well because it's larger, heavier, way less aerodynamic, right? It's humongous. And it got about 15.5-ish. But you know what? Raptor R has a 36-gallon tank, so it can still go further.
Yeah.
It can go as far as like 450, 500 miles.
Now, keep in mind that this is on the highway. What I've been experiencing, Andre, is the opposite. It's a 36-gallon fuel tank, and I've had the pleasure of filling ours up twice now. I go to Sam's Club because it's $3.10 a gallon for premium.
Yeah.
And quarter tank, every time I fill it up, it's been $80. So it's already
just
had four.
Just like candy.
Just like just 80 like bucks. Candy. So if it was empty, it'd be over 100.
Yeah.
And that gets painful. And I know if you can afford an over $100,000 truck, then I guess the common wisdom is that the fuel economy shouldn't matter. But, dude, I mean, every time I, you know, and the gas is cheap, right? Every time I have to put.
Well,
like,
dude, if you were in California somewhere,
it'd be
like $5 or $6 a gallon.
Be 150.
Yes.
At least. And as much as I love that supercharged 5.2-liter V8 in the Raptor R, that is a painful fill up. Painful, painful. And the Ranger Raptor gives you all of the Raptor goodness without as much pain at the pump.
Exactly. Because it's got a smaller tank. It's quite a bit more efficient, like we found out, which was a huge surprise. So the Ranger Raptor is actually, and also very fun. Both trucks are very, very fun.
Yeah.
But we also did drag racing.
Okay. And
yes.
Drag race, we did something really cool.
Four-way drag race.
Yeah, so we got all three Raptors together. We didn't get the Bronco Raptor. We're talking about the pickup Raptor. It's not the Bronco Raptor. But we got the Ranger Raptor, Raptor Raptor, and Raptor R, and we put them up against the RHO. And you want to tell them what happened, Andre, because it was interesting.
So we did the Ram RHO versus each, right, because we figured the Ram RHO is the newest one, right, the newest kid on the block. So I was nervous because the Ranger is tuned, right? The Ranger Raptor is tuned.
And we could have detuned it, but why?
But why?
Why would you?
Once you go, once the genie comes out of the bottle, there is no way to put him back in.
Yeah, once you're in halfway, you might as well go all the way.
So I was very nervous.
Oh, come on. You missed that completely.
I'm sorry. I'm focused on trucks.
You have to admit, once you're in halfway, you might as well go all the way.
What do you want me to say to that?
Well, do you agree or disagree?
I agree 100%.
Thank you.
I agree 100%.
Thank you, Andre.
So, since we're all in.
Since we're all in, we got to tune. We're not going to detune it.
I was nervous.
That's how we roll.
Because the Ranger Raptor is way lighter, it's way smaller, and it's got a lot of power, but the RHO didn't care.
Yeah.
RHO out-accelerated the Ranger Raptor in a commanding fashion.
But I was surprised about the Ranger Raptor. I was watching that video, dude. That thing takes off like a scalded cat. I
mean, yeah, it just leaps.
It's like you can see it like clawing at the ground.
Yeah,
Case was driving the Raptor,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So he was like brake torquing it. And then when it went, it just like literally leapt off the ground and just took off.
Yeah.
It was cool. Cool drag race.
Then we had to do F-150 EcoBoost Raptor.
Yeah,
right? So, because that's the standard.
So who lent us that Raptor?
our friend Brandon.
Brandon, so, thank you, dude. Really Brandon, appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Actually, he lives near where I live.
Oh, how handy.
Near Thornton. I think he lives in Brighton. So thank you, Brandon, very much. You didn't have to do this, and you did. But it didn't go so well for the F-150 Raptor, my friend.
Yeah.
It was quite a lot slower. It was slower than the Ranger Raptor. It was slower than the RHO. So the RHO really is the king, because the RHO starts at $72,000. The F-150 EcoBoost Raptor starts near $80,000. So the RHO has more power for less money. But we were not done yet, because the final drag race was the Raptor R versus RHO.
Sorry, it's my wife. I got to text her back.
This is right holidays, holiday time.
I apologize, but even though we said happy holidays, we're recording this before the holidays.
Yes.
And so I got my grocery list. So she texted me and she's like, can you go get some shopping? Because we're hosting Christmas Eve dinner, right?
Yes.
And she says, don't forget the chives, because she does these like double baked potatoes.
Okay.
And so I already went and got the chives last time I went, right? So I just quickly wanted to text her, because she's trying to cook dinner tonight, so I didn't want her to be. So I'm not trying to not do this, but it was important. So I'm texting her. I'm like, already bought them in fridge. What do you think it autocorrected to?
In the freak.
Oh.
No?
No. In frog.
In frog. No, it's not in the frog.
Sweetie, they're not in the frog. They're in the fridge.
But it's very important, because I think my wife also texted me.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So.
Well, we gotta finish this up so that we can get going for the holidays.
Roman, I knew that the Raptor R was going to be quick.
Yeah.
Right? We all knew.
A horsepower.
We all knew. It's got 720 horsepower in the Raptor R. But I had no idea we're going to get this data from it. This is a mile above sea level, which is, less air density, right? A little bit harder to make horsepower at this altitude, about 17% less density than sea level. This truck laid down, the Raptor R laid down 12.5 second quarter mile and 0 to 60 of 4.3.
Wow.
So for a combustion truck, we're not talking about electric trucks here, right? We know electric trucks are quicker and faster.
We'll get to that in a sec.
Yes. But I was shocked. The RHO was in the rear mirror. The RHO had no way it was going to keep up with the Raptor R.
So in terms of, she's just texting me nonstop now. Okay, yeah.
It's not on the frog, right?
No, it's not on the frog. Sorry.
Okay.
The problem is, if I don't reply, she's going to call.
Okay.
And that's going to get more disruptive. So in terms of who finished where, I was going to give you the order, but go watch the video. It's so much fun. You and Case did such a great job. It's at AllTFL, or just, it's on the truck channel. Just head over.
And also, it's fun to just listen to these trucks.
Yeah.
Hear them accelerate, hear them launch. It's really, really fun.
And speaking of fast trucks, as much as a lot of you won't want me saying this, we do recently get the new Rivian R1T, which is problematic.
Which is Gen 2.
Yeah, because it looks like the old one.
It looks almost identical.
So all the changes are underneath. And it used to be backwards, right? So once upon a time, when cars were body on frame, they would change the look of the car, like Tri-5 Chevys, right? But they would keep the chassis the same.
And the engine the same, usually.
Yeah. Now we've gone the other way, where both Rivian and Tesla keep the body very similar. Think of the new Highland Tesla Model 3, right?
Right.
The exterior panels are the same, but underneath it's very different.
Yes.
And I think that's problematic, because it doesn't allow you to feel like you've gotten something.
You know what else is like that? It's this.
I'm
holding my iPhone 16.
Yeah.
It looks identical to the iPhone 15, but it has better cameras, supposedly, and it has better tech.
But I don't care about the cameras in the truck. I care about the way it looks. Right?
To me, the look
of the phone is important.
Because I don't like, I paid $1,000 for this iPhone 16, and it looks identical to the previous one.
Right.
And I hate that.
Yeah.
Because I just bought a new thing.
Yeah. I mean, I know that's how tech companies do it, but I don't love it. And then when they do new things, they're like, oh, the screen is 15 times brighter. And every generation, it's 20 times brighter. So by now, it should burn your retinas out. And yet, to my eye, I can't tell the difference.
Right.
So the R1T that we have accelerates. This is a tri-motor. I think officially it's like 3.6.
2.9.
The three motors.
2.9.
So I'm going to say it. You're going to hate it.
2.9.
But it would kick the Raptor R's ass.
Well, I just said Raptor clocked like a 4.3.
Yeah,
4.3.
Yeah, so it would kick its ass.
So it's fast.
Twice as fast, almost.
Yeah,
it's fast. 60.
Yeah, as fast as the Raptor R is, which is super impressive. The Rivian would leave it for dead, basically.
Yeah, and then all the guys are like, "Yeah, but it's quiet." I get that.
It is quiet.
I get that, and I get that the experience is also very. What would you call when hearing is involved? I was going to say tactile, but that's feel. So it's more than
emotional.
Just, no, it's more than just how fast it crosses the finish line and how it. And this is the argument that a lot of people make against electric cars. They're like, well, it's more important, you know, how it gets to the finish line than how it crosses, you know, than what in what time it crosses. But I'm like, in drag racing, it isn't, guys. Sorry. You know, it's not the dragster that's the loudest. It's the one that crosses the finish line the fastest.
Yeah.
And that's a reality that a lot of people have a hard time with, I think, because they hate electric cars. And so they make up. I shouldn't say they make up because look, I get it. I love the Raptor. I love the sound of it, but I'm also very pragmatic. And if I'm sitting at a drag race, I'd rather be in the Rivian, even though it makes no sound. It's still going to kick the Raptor R's in a drag race. I'm not saying on everyday driving. I'm not saying, you know, bouncing across the Baja. But I'm saying in a drag race, the Rivian is going to just kill. And I think there has been a kind of a downplaying or an unrecognition of the fact that electric cars are so much faster. And I think part of that is because people hate change, right? The true meaning of conservative is you hate change.
And you're afraid of change.
You're afraid of change. Now people are saying, well, you're Roman, you're an EV promoter, and you're, you know, and that's, nothing is further from the truth. I'm not trying to promote EVs. I'm not trying to, I don't care what the powertrain is, right? It really is. I keep saying this, but nobody listens to this part. Right, it's not about what powers the car. It's, you know, what you're using the car for, and in a drag race, let's be honest, the electric car is going to be quicker. It just is,
and that's what you need.
That's if
what
you're
you
racing,
need right there.
Yeah, yeah. If you're not when you're towing, because the electric car is going to.
Well, if you want to go cross country with a trailer, which I did tow with the Rivian.
That's how I was backing up into the next.
Thank you for the beautiful transition.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. When you're towing cross country, let's say, I would rather be in the Raptor R.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to wait 20, 30 minutes to recharge.
Two minutes at a gas station and you're off.
Yeah.
You're off and running.
Yeah.
In the Rivian, it's going to be a half hour.
Yeah, at least.
If you don't have to unhook, which you might.
Yeah. So I did tow with the R1T because I towed my project vehicle.
And we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
Your bread van.
Yes.
Your Russian buhanka.
Yes, exactly. My bread loaf.
Okay. And how did it tow?
Wonderfully.
Really?
So
it tows a lot, doesn't it?
It's rated for 11,000.
Which is a lot for what looks like a mid-sized truck.
Yeah, it's more than the Raptor R or the RHO. 11,000 pounds. And here's the thing. Rivian does really good software.
Mm.
You know, Tesla is good at software. I think Rivian is also quite good at software. And when you hook up, you know, you plug in the trailer 7-pin connector into the truck, it immediately recognizes that some, you know, that you just did that. It gives you a special towing screen, and it says, do you want to name the trailer? You can name it. And then you start moving, and it estimates the weight because it takes a look at how much power you're using as you start moving and driving and slowing down.
Did it get it right?
Yes.
Wow.
It was within 200 pounds of what I was towing, and I checked it using the scales. So very impressive. Nobody else does that. You know, Ford doesn't do it. GM doesn't do it. Ram doesn't do it. The truck tells you how much you're towing as you're towing it. And it estimates range really nicely. But, well, I drove 60 miles with a trailer. I think I used like 40% of my...
That sounds about right. So 60 miles, 40%.
So it was estimating about 140 miles with a trailer.
Of range. How much did it weigh? How much were you towing?
I was towing 6,500 pounds. Mm. So not that heavy.
No.
So, but my bread loaf is big and square.
Yeah, it's kind of unaerodynamic.
Right, but that's not an excuse. The real thing is that if you want to go cross country with a trailer, electricity still doesn't work. doesn't work for that.
That's, I can say 11,000 pounds for what is basically a mid-sized truck. Let's face it. It's a little bit bigger than a mid-size, yes. But it's a lot smaller than a full-size. So if I had to categorize it, you know, like we used to say the Titan was a tweener, I'm going to call this more or less a mid-sized truck. And I think if you parked like the Ranger Raptor next to it or any of the mid-sized trucks, it'd be much closer to them in size than if you like parked the Raptor next to it. Okay, now I'm going to go the opposite way, Andre.
Yes.
Just to be fair.
Yes.
I get that the vehicle is smart, and I appreciate that. Like now that a lot of trucks know when you're towing.
Sure.
Which they should know, right? A truck should know when you're plugged in. And whether you're powering it with electricity or gas, the thing should know.
Yeah, and it should change its modes automatically.
And Ram does some clever stuff too. Like it when you plug it in and you take a corner, it'll estimate the length of the trailer, which exactly. is great too. So this is all good stuff. But what I hate about the Rivian, which is the same thing I hate about the Tesla Cybertruck that we owned, and this is by far the best because it gets much worse in many other vehicles, is the fact that there is a complete lack of physical buttons. I'm really getting tired of, even though I think Rivian and Tesla do it the best.
But the brake controller is on your steering wheel now.
I know. Yeah. I mean, there's just something so intuitive about that little pull with your thumb that you have, right? Yeah. Whereas now it's on your steering wheel, the same thing that adjusts your seats, the same thing that adjusts your mirrors, right? This is cost-cutting at its worst. And I know Tesla started this whole trend of having minimalist interior design where you got rid of all the buttons and at the same time you got rid of all the cost of the buttons. And unfortunately, every other, and I hate this term, but it's true, legacy. Here's something interesting I was thinking about this morning. Let's say you're Honda or you're Ford, you know, what we, in a horrible way, call legacy car makers, right? And Tesla leads the way with the screen stuff. Why not follow them? Same thing with door handles. Why do you then have to go and, you know, put this giant screen and
remove door handles
and do all the silliness that Tesla's doing? Because, you know, there's a small percentage of like cult fanboys and girls who love Teslas, but it's certainly more of an outlier than you know, I mean, every time I talk to somebody, whether I meet you guys at the airport or I just have a chat with you, everybody like hates the trend of getting rid of buttons, and yet every manufacturer is following instead of leading. Hey, here's an idea for leading Toyota, Ford, whoever. Don't put giant screens on that confuse people. You know, I just, my wife just bought the new BMW iX. That I drive, she was like, hey, can you show me how to put it in eco mode all the time? She likes driving in eco mode.
Okay. Good. Maximizing range. Okay.
I spent a half hour trying to figure out how to do that. And finally, I was at a BMW program, and I was talking to, like, the product planner for the iX. And I said, how do I put this in eco? And you said, you can't. You have to do it every time you cycle the car.
It's not a default. Yeah, every time it changes.
It just goes to normal mode, yeah. And then you can't just default to eco mode. And I mean, imagine if you had a real switch, how easy that would be, right? If you were my
just
wife.
Just a dial.
A dial. And you've got like, you know, we've got eco, normal, sport. And you just go click into eco and it stays there. How wonderful the thing would that be, Andre? How magically easy. This is the thing that cars used to do. Mm-hmm. And now, for some reason, because some product planner, I'm going to stop ranting. I know I'm ranting, guys. I'm sorry. But some product planner decided that you can't put it in eco mode. And probably, you know why? Probably has to do with like...
It's probably lawyers.
No, it's probably EPA. Like, you know, the EPA raised it for a number, and that number is rated at a certain mode.
Yeah.
And then if you change the mode, you'd have to go get it recertified.
Yeah, and it costs money.
And it costs money.
Yeah.
But, so that's why they do it. And then if they like certified in eco mode, then would always have to default to eco mode. And then when you're going to go test drive it and you floor it, you're like, this thing's slow for an electric car.
It sucks. I agree. Except,
but if you didn't have it in the screen, you could have a default to normal, but then you could, then the user, you could test it at normal, but then the user could like, hey, I want eco. And who would have thought, you know, anybody would want eco? Because what it does is it kind of chills. Tesla has it. It's called chill mode too, right? It kind of, I'm sure Rivian has it too. It kind of.
It's called conserve. Rivian conserve.
So it kind of dampens the I was going to say the gas pedal, but it's really the accelerator.
Yeah. And also, usually in the electric vehicle, because electric vehicles usually have multiple motors. Mm-hmm. Like the Rivian has three motors in this case, one in the front and two in the rear.
Sometimes they uncouple the front.
Or the rear,
yeah.
So whichever is most efficient, Rivian uncouples the rear. So now we're using a single front motor. and you're using a lot less energy, which is actually works quite well. But look at Scout. Scout went out and said, we're adding buttons, we're adding switches.
Thank you, Scout.
Scout, thank you. Ford and GM, on their traditional trucks, they have a lot of knobs and buttons still. The Raptor R has a lot of knobs and buttons. So I think Ford, GM, and Ram, they understand traditional truck customers.
Yes.
But BMW or others, for some reason, are switching to all screens and doing that.
Lead, don't follow.
Lead, always lead.
Yeah, and this is
always lead.
This is what happened with Jaguar.
Lead.
They stopped leading and they started following, and it's a warning to all of the other manufacturers out there. You know, don't try to out Tesla Tesla. Don't with Rivian. Don't try to be the Tesla truck of Tesla, because Tesla has its own truck. Just be innovative and come up and listen to maybe you just listen to your customers. You know, I mean, maybe you just listen to your customers and you find out that when people hate all this stuff in the screen, when people love Apple CarPlay, GM, right?
Or Rivian, or Tesla.
Yeah, or maybe you give them what they want. Why are you making us choose the stuff, the one bit of technology that I've heard from everybody we've talked to that they love, Tesla, Rivian, GM now doesn't provide. How has that ever been a good business strategy to not give your customers what they want?
Yeah, if they go in there asking for a Big Mac and you have no Big Mac.
I love the Big Mac. Yeah, no, you got to have the fillet of fish. I know next door they have the...
the Whopper.
Yeah, but only fillet of fish here.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So tomorrow for us...
Bread loaf.
A couple days ago for you on Christmas, Andre did... passion project, and it was both a passion project in terms of his videography, because he shot the whole thing, and in terms of what he did. But you did something really cool, and that is you took your Buhanka, which is, once again, this kind of cool Russian...
Old school military 4x4 van.
And took out the little four cylinder and did something very American. What did you do, Andre?
I stuck the Chevy V8 into it.
With the help of my man, David.
But actually... David did most of the work.
Yeah, David did most of the work, yeah.
He did most
of the fabrication. The guy. And for all of you...
He's a magician.
Yeah, for all you've been saying, hey, more David?
You're going to get a lot of David.
You're going to get a lot of David. Yeah, thank you, David.
Very, very soon, yeah. Right now.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. It was a passion project for him. It was a passion project for me. We involved our families, like my son and my daughter helped out a couple times. My dad came by and helped David a couple times, several times as well. It was amazing. It was, you work with your son.
Yep.
Every day. So it was a really, really great thing. And David, we kind of jumped off into the abyss because I never swapped an engine.
Nobody's Chevy LS swapped a Buhanka before.
No, this as far as
the,
we know.
This might be the very first Buhanka. Maybe.
LS.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes.
There might be some crazy Ukrainian somewhere or some crazy.
Sure. Crazy Polish person.
Yeah. Who has done... You think of Eastern Bloc. Siberian, maybe. Azerbaijanian.
Sure. Kazakhstan. There's somebody there. Actually, I've seen the Buhanka being swapped with a Russian V8. Because Russian engines, they had V8 engines in the past. But this is a modern LS V8. You'll have to watch the video for a little bit more detail. But... it was scary, Roman, because we were removing a functioning engine from a functioning vehicle.
That's why it's so fun, because it's scary.
It's very scary.
It's cool.
And then none of us knew. I never LS swapped anything. David never LS
anything. And it's actually trickier than that, because the engine, this is a cab forward design.
And the engine is in the middle of the vehicle.
Yeah, it's like, remember those old Scooby-Doo vans?
Yes.
Kind of like that, right? Where the engine lives between the driver and the passenger.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of like the Toyota, the original Sienna had an engine like that too.
Or the, what is it, the Privia?
The Privia, not the Sienna, sorry.
Yeah, the Privia.
Yeah, the Privia, the first minivan version of the Sienna, Privia had that mid-mounted engine. And so the reason that is very difficult is because instead of having all your controls behind you or
yes.
They're now...
Sorry.
In front of you, they're now behind you. So the throttle linkage doesn't go through the firewall. It goes back. And
yes.
Same thing for the...
transfer case.
Ace and everything else.
Yeah, transmission.
So it's tricky.
very tricky. But David was the right person.
Yeah.
David is the right person because he is a fabricator. He's an architect. Also, he builds homes.
If there was one man who could do this, it was going to be David.
It was going to be David. So I trusted David, and you have to watch the – and the second episode comes out in a few days.
Yeah, so head on over to AllTFL, or yes. If you want, go over to TFL Truck and click on the Buhanka. This was our Christmas present to you.
Yeah.
I should say Andre's Christmas present to you, or holiday present, however you want to look at it, because – While we compressed everything into an hour in the first part,
we did.
That took months.
It took 5.5 months.
Yeah. So,
but you're seeing it in a very, very compressed. But I also think fun. You know, when you compress a lot into a little,
yeah,
it becomes more fun because you're seeing more things.
That's what she said.
Oh. Okay. On that note,
I don't know what's wrong with me. Sorry, guys.
On that note, we should stop.
Yeah, I'm all stressed out with the holidays, and I think
we need to go.
It's just going the wrong place.
Sorry about that,
guys. Thank you very much. We should thank our Patreons, Andre.
Really appreciate your support.
Yeah, you guys are the best. I really appreciate when you guys put up comments. By the way, if I can't reply to all of them, it's not because I want to. It's just because there's too many comments. But we do read them. So if you guys want to, you know, be the first to see videos, kind of get behind the scenes videos. Where should they go to, Andre?
Patreon.com/TFLCar. Our only Patreon page is right there.
Yep. We love your support, and it lets us do what we've been doing. And Andre, we should start looking forward to the new year.
Exactly. We talked about two big trips we're already taking in the new year, and more to come.
You know, I'm wondering, are you going to do something big with the Buhanka now that it actually goes?
Do you want me to take it to Dakar?
Yeah, ask Ford if they'd be willing to fly it out there.
No.
You should ask Chevy that.
Yeah, Chevy should fly it out.
Exactly, yeah, not Ford.
It's now a Chevy truck.
I mean, we have done one big trip, right? We've done the Diablo de El Camino.
El Camino del Diablo.
The Road of the Devil.
Yes.
And that's really – is that when you found out that little four-cylinder was not enough?
It's not enough. It doesn't go fast on the highway. It maxes out at 50 miles an hour.
Not anymore.
And also – it was vapor locking all the time because it had dual tanks and they weren't communicating with each other.
And best of all, it's got a lot of real switches. There's not a screen to be seen.
One tiny screen because we're using a engine management software for
That's
the engine.
It. Yeah.
The one tiny screen.
Yeah, but nothing else.
Yes.
All right.
On that note,
we'll see you guys next time.
Appreciate it.
Happy New Year. Ciao.
Thank you.
Picture this, you're in the garage, hands covered in grease, just finished tuning up your engine with a part you found on eBay, and you realize, you know what? I could also use new brakes. So where do you go next? Back to eBay. You can find anything there. It's unreal. Wipers, headlights, even cold air intakes, it's all there. And you've got eBay Guaranteed Fit. You order a part, and if it doesn't fit, send it back. Simple as that. Look, DIY fixes can be major. Doesn't matter if it's just maintenance or a major mod. You got it. Especially when things are guaranteed to fit. So when you dive into your next car project, start with eBay. All the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love.
Menards is the ultimate home improvement destination in the Midwest. Since 1958, we've been supplying you with everything from hardware to automotive needs. We believe in helping you save big money on every project, big or small. From top-of-the-line tools to plumbing supplies, paint, and appliances, we've got you covered. We thank you for making Menards a part of your year. From our family to yours, have a safe and happy new year.
Save big.